I'm Jane, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, and I think we should give Mark another round of applause, because what a way to start a class. Somebody would have to have a lot of guts to get up here after he spoke and talk. Or they would have to be crazy. So I'll let you decide. Actually, I'm here, like he said, to speak about the principle of courage. And that's so funny to me, because I am such a chicken. I am really a chicken. And my brain is always saying, oh my God, you can't do that. But like he said, do the damn service. And I just thought, this is important to me. It's service, and I'm going to do it. So even if my hands shake or my voice sounds like my dad or whatever happens, I am going to speak. First, I'd like to tell you a little bit about where I'm coming from, like he did. And it's interesting to me how our stories are so much the same and yet so different. And I think you'll see that as we go through. I came to OA in 1990 feeling completely bankrupt emotionally, spiritually, physically, and of course I came to lose the weight. How many people came to lose the weight? I'm among friends. Really, I had tried everything, and I have to admit, I've been here 34 years. I was 37 then, I'm 70 now. So I will approach, you know, like being in the program longer than I wasn't pretty soon. And that's very humbling to me, because it's really only been in the last 11 years that I have truly felt like I get to enjoy all of the sunlight of the Spirit. And I see the promises coming true in my life. So that was a lot of years before. I'll let you do the math, because I'm in front of a bunch of people and I can't do that. In those early years, like he said, I had periods of relief. I had periods of abstinence. I was white knuckling it. I was the director, the actor, the choreographer, I was getting the sandwiches for the staff. I mean, just the whole thing. And I was working my food plan like a nut. And I was still drinking alcohol sometimes. And I didn't even realize that was a thing. I mean, where was my brain? And talk about denial. Any drinking that I did, whether it was a small amount or not, would lead me right back into the food, lower my defenses, get the sugar in my body, and I'm off to the races. And it never ended well. I never won the race, let's say. So consequently, my weight yo-yoed up and down, up and down, up and down. Relapse, recovery, not really recovery, just relief for a while. And I did the extra dinners. I did the grunge and, you know, finding the good stuff in the Halloween baskets. I ate until I physically thought my stomach was just gonna shred and I'd be in the emergency room. I was so miserable. And what is different for me than some of you, but I know there are people in the room like me with this, my highest weight was just 40 pounds higher than I am right now. But I bet I lost those 40 pounds 100 times. It was just up and down and up and down, and talk about a humbling experience. Well, 11 years ago, I hit my bottom. I remember being in a parking lot, crying, calling my sponsor, saying, I can't do this anymore. It's going to kill me. I am totally out of control. I'm exhausted. I'm miserable. I can't do one more day of, today is the day I will finally stop. And I was willing to do whatever it took, whatever. And I'm so grateful for that day of, I hope my final bottom, I hope my final bottom. I gave up alcohol that day. I recommitted to working my food plan, to working the principles, to working the steps. And I never want to go back to that big black hole again. There isn't a food that I can think of that tastes good enough to send me back to that hell. There just isn't. And people say if you can't remember your last binge or your bottom, it's not your last. I hope that it's my last, but I can't know that, can I? So I'm here today doing service so I can maintain my recovery and feel good about my program. I really feel now, after 11 years in recovery, like I get to see the promises and I get to live in that sunlight of the Spirit. And I no longer am that crazy, out of control woman who was up one day and down the next, clinical depression, anxiety, chronic pain, alcoholism in my family, and sexual abuse. And I just want to mention sexual abuse because I know there are people in this room who may have had that experience too. And it's not something that I hear people talk about a lot. And if you want to talk about it, I'm here for you. I consciously tried to gain weight, to eat food, to build a wall of fat that would be a container of secrets and would keep me safe, whatever safe would mean in that situation. So I'm here for you if you want to talk about that part. I do feel qualified to talk about courage tonight because I've gotten to be here for 34 years, and I can't tell you what I've seen in these rooms in terms of courage. The sponsees that I've worked with who just knock my socks off, the people who come back when it's not going well and say that they're starting again, it's pretty amazing. And I've gotten to learn from the best of sponsors. So I've gotten to see the miracles happen. Not always for me, but it's been a really cool gift for me. So that's a little bit about me, but I'm here to focus on courage tonight. And courage is the spiritual principle, like Mark said, of step four. And step four is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. In my time with you, I want to tell you a few ways that I think about courage and give you some examples of ways that I've seen people work courage in the OA program. Uh-oh, I bet that's me. And I want to just finish with a little bit about what it means to use courage in all of our affairs. I'm going to get my mouth going. I'm a teacher, so I like words, and I know that the word courage comes from the word cœur, which means heart in French. And it actually literally means to speak one's mind by telling one's heart. And that really speaks to me, speaking my mind by telling my heart. That to me sounds like step four and step five, because in step four, I go way within into my heart. And my sponsor always says, go within or go without. I go down into that cobwebby, scary place with my little flashlight, and I muck around in there, and I look at all of the things, my resentments, my sex behaviors, my fears, the harms I've done to other people, my resentments. And then in step five, I literally use courage to speak my heart, my mind, by telling my heart. I've always said that in OA, I came for my body, I stayed for my mind, and I found my heart. And that's, I just really feel like I have to work my program from my heart, or the craziness in my head will get me in trouble. And the craziness in my head is what got me in trouble in the first place. I can't think my way out of this, people. I gotta get down in here. I also heard in the last month or so that the heart adds and the mind divides. Think about that. The heart adds and the mind divides. My heart loves, it includes, it welcomes, and my mind can be fearful, judgmental, perfectionistic. So that's one of the reasons why I try to get into my heart, and that's why I love that that's a core part of the word courage, is your heart. Another thing I've heard about courage is that courage is fear that has said its prayers. And I like that because I feel the fear and I say some prayers. Like he said, Mark said, that faith is knowing that you're not alone. I need to know I'm not alone. And that's one way I can do that is by saying prayers. We've got so many, the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer. Sometimes I'll say the serenity prayer, like set my watch for on the hour. And I'll say the serenity prayer every hour when it goes off. And my family will say, what's that alarm doing? But it brings me back to myself. It brings me back to my higher power. I may be texting someone because I'm supporting them. We're doing it together. And so I love using the different prayers, the set-aside prayer, the fear prayer. If you don't know those, you can Google them and find them. But think for just a minute about what prayer you can use or you do use to calm your fear. Sometimes, like when he was speaking and my ice water was running through my veins, I was keeping it simple and just praying things like, help. And sometimes simple is the best for me. I realize now, though, that in my early days when I was struggling and yo-yoing, my help prayers were kind of off base. They were like, help me control my food. Help me control my children. Help me control my feelings. Help me to be perfect. Help me to lose this weight. Help me to eat this sugar once and for all. How many people have had Last Suppers over and over? Can't tell you how sick I've gotten at those Last Suppers. What I wasn't saying was, help, I surrender. That was my main problem. Surrender was my missing piece for years. I didn't realize I had to lay down my great ideas, my ego, my plans, my marvelous everything I knew or thought I knew. I needed the set-aside prayer. I was raised, on the contrary, to be self-reliant and independent. Those were important values in my family. But I come into the rooms and I realize that doing that, being in control, is always my disease. And being in surrender will lead me to recovery. So if I'm feeling like I need to be in control, there's something wrong. I've learned that courage is, instead of clutching on to whatever I've got and whatever I think is right and needs to happen, if I can have the courage to pray with open hands and an open mind and an open heart, then I'm going to get what I need. I didn't say what I want, but what I need. And that openness means just that I'm being willing to be guided and taught. And that's surrender to me. When I looked through our little voices of recovery, it said a cool thing about courage, because it's hard to come up with sometimes. It said, a deep inner courage resides within each of us. The disease has told us for so long that we don't have enough courage, but that's another of its lies. Tapping into that courage requires only the tiniest bit of willingness to change. To take a chance that the literature and people with long-term recovery are telling the truth and that we deserve recovery. So how do I surrender myself and tap into that courage? Well, like Mark said, I use the tools. I might call someone, go to a meeting, read literature, do some writing. Writing happens to be a tool that I really like. So I might just sit down and do a brain dump. Just get out a piece of paper and write whatever happens. I might do a two-way prayer where I might say or write, higher power, what do I need to know today? And see what comes. It could be anything. I might just write a prayer or write a letter to my higher power. But getting it down into my hand, you know, into my heart and out my hand slows everything down for me. Gets rid of that monkey mind. I hear you saying, yeah, but what if I like what I'm holding on to? Letting go is hard. I can't do it all the time. But I'm like the person sometimes who wants to learn how to swim but keep one foot on the ground. And I've learned that surrender means lifting both feet. And I know that I read someplace once that to get to the deep water, you have to lift both feet, and that's where the magic happens. And that's what has happened in my program. When I totally let go, I lift both feet, I get to see the magic. I get to have some of that miracle. Keeping one foot on the ground means that I'm still holding on to what I want. And if I'm not wanting to let go of that, sometimes I just have to pretend that I'm willing. And then I watch myself. My sponsor gave me permission to have a temper tantrum before I exercised. She said, go ahead, stomp your feet, do whatever you want, I don't care, but then you're going to do it anyway. So I still, today, will say to my husband, Michael, I'm going down to ride the exercycle. I don't want to ride the exercycle, or I don't want to go to the gym. And then it's like, uh-oh, I'm putting my shoes on. And I literally watch myself as I do the thing. I just let it happen. I don't wanna, but I do it. And what about, I'm gonna do my fifth step today. I'm just gonna do it. I can remember just thinking, just open your mouth, start the words. When I finished my fourth and fifth step, my sponsor had me write something in the front of my big book that I didn't understand. It said, Dear Jane, you are never going to have your way again as long as you live. I didn't get it. I thought, I did all this work and now I never. And then she said, Love God. P.S. If you follow the directions in this book, you will thank me for it one day at a time. And I have. It's true. So I learned that if I do act out of courage, I get what I need, not what I want. But in spite of that, I still pray thanks, because I've learned that gratitude gives me so many things. It gives me hope. It gets me out of depression. It gives me confidence. It just, living in gratitude is a wonderful thing. And often what happens when I act with courage and act on gratitude is that whatever happens is beyond my wildest dreams. And you know, Roseanne's prayer is in our booklet tonight, and so are a bunch of other prayers that you got with the program in it. And I think that's really cool, because I just love that. Anyway, how many people have done a fourth and fifth step? How many people experienced some fear during part of that project? Yeah, how many people did it anyway? Yeah, that's the other thing. Courage is feeling the fear and doing it anyway. That's just what it takes. We're all here because we're part of a spiritual program that asks us to act, and that takes courage. So there isn't a person in this room who doesn't have courage. So I've said courage comes from the heart. It is fear that said its prayers. It's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. One last description that I'd like to share is one that I've witnessed at every OA meeting I've ever been to. And it says, courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again tomorrow. I like that. I'm an introvert. I'm kind of a quiet person. I like the idea of a quiet voice within me, because that's my higher power. And the fact that I can try again tomorrow has been a curse, and it's also been a blessing for me. The courage that it takes to show up and move forward is something else. I hit my stop. So I'm going to say one more thing, and that's that the things that we can all do to practice this in all of our affairs is to be of service, be the people we were made to be, find and use our voice, speak up for what we need, be authentically ourselves, claim our space, and pray and surrender. And with that, I pass.